hour number three already on Monday, and we're going to talk to Mitchell Henderson. Hello, Mitch. It's crazy out there. Now, I had a story today someone sent me, and I think we remember that Mossad headquarters located under a hospital, which you'll notice is what Mossad and the Israeli government often says about Palestinians. Oh, they hide things under hospitals. That's what we have to bomb hospitals. Well, the Iranians found out where their headquarters were, under a hospital, and apparently took it out with some kind of bunker buster-ish munitions coming in. Maybe that was the hypersonic warhead we saw come in. I don't know. But the interesting part is, the word is that up to 5,000, because it's war, because the Mossad would be on at highest employment status, working, studying, gathering, up to 5,000 died under that hospital. Now, that's big, if that's true. Let's say it's 1,000. That's big, if that's true. So there was a lot more damage in Israel. As soon as I heard Netanyahu ban anyone from taking video or photos of the damage and spreading it, I knew they were getting hit really hard. So it was a very interesting thing to see an allegedly non-nuclear power stand up and kick the daylights out of that vile group of people. Hello. Welcome, Mitchell.
Good to be here.
Yeah.
So tonight I want to talk about war.
Funniest thing, huh? Well, what a coincidence.
I want to talk about the phony war, okay?
Yeah.
Previously I said that World War III began on June 22nd, 2025, when Trump bombed Iran and started the war. That was the start date of the war. Okay, many would say that it does not look like World War III right now, but we're so conditioned by Hollywood, we're so conditioned by the press, that we think a war immediately, leads to shooting back and forth, et cetera, et cetera. So what I want to do is I want to take people back to World War II to look and ask the question, how did World War II look to the people that lived in those times? It was so slow getting started that they called it the phony war. By the end of the war, 5 years later, 85 million people were dead. Okay?
That's minimum.
But at first, they called it the phony war.
Yeah.
Keep this in mind as World War III evolves. World War II in Europe began in September 1939 when Germany invaded Poland. Of course, the Soviet Union also attacked Poland and occupied half of it. But France and the UK did not declare war on the Soviet Union, just on Germany. There was virtually no fighting between September 1939 and May 1940 when Germany invaded France. For 9 months after the war was declared, there was no fighting, and this is why it was called the Funny War. During those 9 months, the Allies started improving their defenses and building their armed forces up to prepare for offensive operations. The Germans invaded the Soviet Union in June 1941, 22 months after invading Poland. The Soviet Union entered the war. On December 11, 1941, the United States declared war on Germany. The first battle that the U.S. fought against the Germans was at Kasserine Pass, Tunisia, 1 year and 3 months later, in February 1943. 1 year and 3 months later.
Wow.
We were at war for 1 year and 3 months, but that was our first battle against the enemy. This battle was the first Allied attack against the Germans, coming 3 years and 10 months after the Allies, UK and France, declared war on Germany. 3 years and 10 months. The next big operation, the invasion of Italy, began in July 1943 as a continuation of the invasion of North Africa, where Italian forces, with the aid of German forces, attempted to hold the Italian colony of Libya. The Allied attack on German forces began in June 1944, 4 years and 10 months after the Allies declared war on Germany, and 2 years and 7 months after the USA declared war on Germany. 2 years and 7 months. Okay. So it took them that long to build up their forces to attack Germany. The last year and a half of the war was worse. It was different in the Soviet Union. German troops invaded in June 1941 and pushed to within 25 miles of Moscow. The Soviets had no time to build up their forces. By December 1941, the Germans were at the gates of Moscow, and the Soviets launched an offensive with 600,000 men just 5 months after the Germans started their invasion and the Soviet Union declared war on them. The next successful Soviet counterattack came at Stalingrad a year later in July 1942. It took them a year and a half from the date of the invasion to marshal the forces for a successful counterattack. The battle lasted for 6 months until February 1943. The Battle of Stalingrad cost about 3 million lives, including 1.5 German soldiers and German Allied soldiers.
1.5 million Germans and German Allies. Wow.
Right. But this is like a year later, okay?
Gotcha.
A year and a half after the war began. Okay, when the Battle of Stalingrad ended, the Americans drew first blood at Kasserine Pass in North Africa. The Soviets had already endured very hard fighting and very high losses before we even fought our first battle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the time of Stalingrad is the time Americans initiated combat at Kasserine Pass, okay, from 41 to 43, okay. So it took the Soviets 5 months to marshal the forces for the counterattack at Kursk in July of 1943, the same time we invaded Italy. The Germans had effectively lost on the Eastern Front by this time. We were just getting started. In the Pacific, Japan attacked us on December 7th, 1941. Now, we always kind of think of this war. It started with the attack on Pearl Harbor, so the fighting began intensely at that moment. This is the impression that a lot of people have. This was much faster and intense, right? No, we had to build our forces up for a counterattack on Japan. In December 1941, Japan attacked Hawaii, Wake Island, Guam, and the Philippines. Our first counterattack was the Doolittle Raid on Japan 5 months later in April 1942. It was a token raid that had little practical effect. Our first big battle with Japan came in May 1942, 6 months after the war started, at the Battle of the Coral Sea off the north coast of Australia. 6 months. Our next big battle with the Japanese came 7 months after the start of the war, at the Battle of Midway in June 1942. Many people have the impression that Midway happened right after Pearl Harbor. No, that was 7 months later. Okay, the first landing of U.S. troops on Japanese-occupied territory took place 9 months after the start of war in August 1942, when we invaded Guadalcanal and the Solomon Islands. The first major invasion to take back the Philippines did not happen until October 1944, 2 years and 11 months after the declaration of war, when we invaded Leyte at the Battle of Leyte Gulf. In modern times, we are used to rapid gratification, expect things to happen rapidly. War is not that way. It is expensive and requires many supplies and forces to be massed for attack. Even now, that takes time. For example, the Gulf War in 1990. We started sending troops to Saudi Arabia in September of 1989, and then it wasn't until, let me backtrack a little bit. We had our forces assembled by September of 1989, and or was it 1990? And then we didn't attack until January 1991. So that's like 5 or 6 months to get the forces ready to attack for what amounted to about a 3-day war. Okay, so even in modern times, it takes a long time. After the war has been decided, it takes a long time for the action to build up, okay?
Right.
So we have left Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran no choice but to go to war. This will be a total war. As you can see in Palestine, it is already a war of extermination and without mercy. By attacking Iran, Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran are aware that the United States wants to separate them and attack them one at a time. To survive, Iran, Russia, North Korea, and China are going to have to coordinate to defeat our aggression. Iran needs to take out the air and naval assets that we have deployed to the Middle East. Since our air and naval are what most threatens these nations, it is important for them to degrade them near the beginning of open hostilities. Iran can use sleeper cells to sabotage and disrupt the infrastructure and logistical support system in the American homeland, thanks to the Biden administration. Okay, as you can see, you know, when I say that the war started that day, it started that day because we officially went to war with Iran that day. Now Trump can get up there and say, oh, the war's all over, you know, we accomplished all our goals. But you know what? They attacked a sovereign nation. That sovereign nation, that was an act of war on Iran. Iran has taken it as an act of war. Not just Iran, but Russia, China, North Korea have also taken that to be an act of war. So the way I see this unfolding is the war is going to really heat up in the Middle East first, okay, because, that's how they can degrade our forces. Okay, they want us to spend ammunition there. They want us to deplete our naval and air power because that's what's the biggest threat to China and Russia. Our land forces are not a threat. Okay, it's our air and naval forces. But you cannot win a war with air and naval forces. You have to put boots on the ground, and you know what? We just can't do it. We can't do it in China. We can't even do it in Russia.
Oh, no.
Let me tell you something, people. Our military is not, our army is not up to this. You know, 1 out of 4 people in our military is a woman. Okay?
And, is it 25% now?
25%. And you know what?
Zelensky will catch up with that pretty soon.
Hegseth is doing, you know, because I'm a 28-year veteran, I still follow, like, the Military Times, Pacific Stars and Stripes, Task and Purpose, military thing. I just do it because, you know, I was so long in it, I'm kind of ingrained.
Sure, I understood.
They are promoting women and blacks just like they were before. They just appointed an Air Force general to be the commander of U.S. forces in Europe, the commander of NATO forces, Chaif. And this man went before Congress and said, yeah, Ukraine could beat Russia's butt. Okay, this is an idiot that we just made ahead of all NATO forces. He's an idiot. He has no combat experience. You know, it's to me, this is perhaps my prejudice or my bias. I don't think you should ever put a pog in charge of a combatant military command. Okay.
No,
what a pog is a people other than a grunt. See, I was okay with Pete Hegseth because he's a grunt. He knows it. But these other generals that are the main commander of Marine forces in Korea is a 2-star female Marine general who's never seen combat.
Okay.
I mean, come on.
What are we doing? What about our munitions inventory? Depleted.
That's what they want to. They want to deplete that even further with the war in the Middle East. Okay. So let me just add another thing here. Okay, because it's kind of relevant, okay, because I went in the Army in 1971. I just had this past week My executive officer from Korea, he just died. Okay, and I want to give him as an example of the way things are. Okay, so in 1973 in Korea, okay, he was my executive officer. He was a field artillery platoon leader with the 82nd Airborne, a strike unit at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. This is a unit that has as much money as they need to train and to be ready, and they have all the training and equipment money they can have. A strike unit meant that it's the most prepared for war unit that we have, okay?
Got it.
So he was a really good officer. He put his troops first. He always put his troops first, which a good leader always does. So he came to us to a tactical nuclear field artillery unit in Korea as the executive officer, okay? This ended his career, and let me tell you why. Because they brought in a black lieutenant. And that black lieutenant harassed and harangued white soldiers. He was always harassing. He was an overtly racist black lieutenant. Well, this lieutenant that I'm talking about, his name's Patrick Davis, First Lieutenant Patrick Davis, okay, he stood up to him. He said, no, you can't be treating my soldiers like that, because he was the executive officer of the company. He says, you can't treat my soldiers like that. And he gave them bad write-ups and stuff, basically for the way he treated people. Well, what they did is they fired him and put the black lieutenant as the executive officer. Okay.
Yeah.
So this was 1973. This is a part and parcel of our military culture, where we promote incompetence. We promote people that are bad for the soldiers. Okay. We've done that since then. So even though Pete Hegseth came in 6 months ago and said no more DEI, that DEI is so ingrained in our military that it's you know what it's just like I always say, what I learned in the military was that the purpose of the armed forces is to give us the appearance of having a strong armed force. Okay, so what Pete Hegseth has done is he is giving the appearance that we don't have DEI in our military, but trust me, DEI is alive and well in our military, and we're going to pay for that. Okay?
Yeah, I'm sure.
We're not ready.
Can you honestly wait? Short of an overthrow by an honest to God American patriot, not a Trump, can you imagine our military ever coming back? Other than tech, we'll never have the bodies, the soldier, the fighting force. Not the physical part. We'll have the technology, and maybe that's what it'll take to win wars. I don't know.
You know what? We can't do it. Let me tell you. Right now, all three of my sons went in the military, but thank God it wasn't as bad as it is now. I mean, can you imagine you go in the Marine Corps to be a Marine, and you have some woman drill sergeant screaming at you?
Or DI?
Come on. A female DI is screaming. That's what they have in the Marine Corps. A female DI screaming at you.
Wow.
I don't know. I just... I couldn't do it.
I'm sure you couldn't. No. That's awful.
You just would not be impressed at all with it, you know. I would be tempted to give them attitude, you know. So.
They'd love
it. So how many more men would do that? I mean, do you want a job that any sissy or any woman can do? Are you going to be proud of being an infantryman if any sissy or any woman can do that job? You know, it just doesn't work that way. A key factor in a military unit is esprit de corps. Nothing destroys esprit de corps like forcing people to work with women, forcing people to have incompetent leadership. That does not develop esprit de corps. Esprit de corps is a force multiplier. That's when all the men in the unit can respect each other and stuff. Fortunately, my time in the military and my combat arms units, it was all men all the time. I didn't have any have to deal with any women in command and stuff. And I know I probably, to some people out there, sound like some kind of a male chauvinist or something like that. No, no, no. What it is combat is extremely hard work. It's grueling. It's intense. Okay? You have to have strength. You have to have endurance. By interjecting people that are weak, you cannot do that, you know? So, I mean, listen, I think Venus Williams is a tennis player. Somebody asked her if she would play against a male tennis player, and she says, well, like a third-rate tennis, male tennis player would probably beat her, okay? We're so infected with this Marxist nonsense about sure. Women are just as good as men. You know, listen, as individuals, sure, I actually like women far more than I like men, okay? Women have qualities that I think are just wonderful, but war isn't about wonderful qualities. War is about killing people and breaking things, and it is very hard work, and if everybody's not pulling their weight, people die, okay?
You explained it very well. It's all true. Is this a fact? Facts are facts? I don't know. I watched this Ukraine thing and kidnapping these kids off the streets and killing them within a few weeks. Same thing with women now. They're forcing women. They're all going to die. The Russians are just grinding them up slowly but surely. Well, really disgusting.
And President Trump promised us that if he became president, if we elected him, he would stop sending them money. He would stop supporting them. He would get us out of that war. Here we are 6 months later, and we are just as involved in it now as we were when Biden was president.
When is Putin going to take the gloves off and say to Trump or whomever, I don't care if he backdoors it behind the scenes. You stop, or we're going to extend this, and you're not going to like it. Somehow.
Well, listen, we have already crossed all the red lines of all the countries.
Everyone.
Okay, so you might say that right now, in regards to nuclear war, they have the initiative. Okay, and what's scary to them is, if Trump would bomb Iran, he will nuke somebody. So they've made them a little. Trump, by his braggadocio, and by his impulsiveness and his insane, worthless moves, he has made them more edgy, where they're more likely to launch a nuclear attack against us than they were before. Okay, now Trump is unpredictable. Okay, so, this is just what it is. Listen, I just said, so the big fighting is not going on and stuff, but let me tell you, this is total war, okay? And I can already see the total war, what they call, I'm always talking about the psychological preparation of the people. I'm already seeing that in spades. Okay, I'm looking at the news from all the countries in the world, and I can see it's all geared towards total war. It's all geared towards meeting their goals, making not just making people, they don't want people to understand, they want people to be confused. They'll say one thing one day, a different thing the next day. Nothing's for sure. Create uncertainty. I mean, Trump does that. Trump creates uncertainty in everything. Okay, this is like shock doctrine of psychological warfare. You know, you cast uncertainty out there, get people nervous. And what we're supposed to do, ideally, is we're supposed to trust our leadership. People do not trust these people. Do not trust what they say. I got on to Biden's administration for in January of 2024. You know, Mayorkas is saying our borders is secure. Merrick Garland is saying crime is really down in America. Janet Yellen is saying we got the best economy we've ever had. Tony Blinken says we have peace in the Middle East like we've never had before. So these are obvious lies that they're telling to our faces because they expect their people to believe it. And now Trump is doing the same thing. He says, oh, we've made this big, beautiful bombing of Iran. We've brought them to heel. We have defeated them, and now we have started bringing peace to the Middle East and stuff. Okay, let me tell you, this is not the way that the Iranians are seeing this. This is not the way the Russians are seeing this. Okay, and once again, it's just like this new NATO commander. He expects us to believe, he actually expects us to believe that Ukraine can beat Russia. I mean, they're lying to us just like Biden lied to us. They're obvious lies. Okay, what do you think the odds are that we actually blew up anything in Iran? Is that a sure thing?
No, it is not. I think there was some damage. I do not think it was total by any stretch of the imagination. No. And I also believe that the Iranian military is saying, the IRGC, that they expended about 5% of their total military stocks in hitting the Jewish state. And they did a lot more damage to Israel than will ever be admitted. Those people are master liars.
Yes, they are.
And they stood up to them, Mitch, they stood up to them without being a nuclear power on the books. And they threw everything they had at them early on, and they were the only name one other country that's ever stood up to those bastards. Name one.
Well,
not like that.
And we haven't seen the worst light. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Okay, Iran knows this. First of all, Iran, we've been talking about bombing their main nuclear sites for years now. And when
true.
Trump came in, well, that shot increased. And Israel, Iran knows Israel's trying to drag America into the war. So don't you think the Iranians moved that uranium-235? You know, and Trump...
He got it out of there days before.
It's very difficult to move uranium. It's very heavy. That is ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous.
What's ridiculous,
Mitch?
You can
move a packed piano. You can move uranium.
Thank you.
You know?
Of course.
It's like these are the ridiculous things they expect us to believe. Why should we believe him? He told us that he was going to stop supporting Ukraine, but he still is. And he's mad. He's this week he said he's mad at Putin and stuff. And it's like
who cares?
This is the ridiculousness of this, Jeff, that since this war broke out, Russia has said, we do not want a ceasefire. We want a comprehensive peace treaty. We will settle for nothing else. There's no way we'll have a ceasefire. So Trump gets elected, and Zelensky runs over and says, oh, we'll have a ceasefire right away. Zelensky knew that Russia would not settle for a ceasefire because that's all Russia has said. Did not Trump or anybody in the Trump administration listen to Russia for the past 3 years and hear that there's no way they want a ceasefire? They've been saying it steadily. But yet it's Putin. The problem, what it is Zelensky, the clown, the gay clown, he is punking Trump. He's manipulating Trump. Trump falls for what this gay clown manipulating him for. Trump is just like, he's lost. This man, Zelensky, this Zionist pig, is actually much smarter than Trump is. He plays Trump effectively. Not only that, but apparently everybody in our government, too. Does nobody have a brain in our government? Can anybody connect the dots and see how Zelensky is playing Trump? To see how Zelensky is playing the United States? Does nobody have a brain? Does nobody have any foresight, no vision, no retrospection, no knowledge of anything? Do we just have a government by impulse? Well, Jeff, I want to say we do have that. We have a government by idiotic impulse. This is what's going to lead to the destruction of our country.
That's well said. A government by impulse. I like that. That's very good. That's true.
Yeah.
Trump is one of the most impulsive, mouth-running morons I've ever seen.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
If you want to see Trump, look at the videos of him in these World Wrestling Federation, WWF events with Vince McMahon in the ring, throwing Vince McMahon around. It's an obscenity.
Well, anyway. Keep this in mind, too. Trump is a showman. That's what
always,
Trump is an actor.
100%.
He's a showman. What you
That's
just
right.
saw happening with Israel and Iran, that was theater. That was theater. That's a show that Trump put on for the American public.
Okay. You know the part that wasn't theater, Mitch? Putting the chair under Netanyahu's
annihilation butt. To put on this show for us. His ego is so big that he would risk all of our lives so he can look good. That's what Trump will do. You know, it went from he's gonna stop supporting Ukraine to like, oh wait, if I make a peace treaty between Ukraine and Russia, and they'll do what I want because I'm a threatening guy, you know, then I can get a Nobel Peace Prize. It went from what the needs of the American people were, the security of the American people, to the ego of Donald J. Trump.
Yeah.
The ego of Donald J. Trump is more important than your life.
That's true.
By far more important.
You're right. No.
And on June 22nd, he took the biggest gamble. He got us into the war. You know, we're expecting. What did we think, that Iran was going to just immediately go on the rampage? Well, you know what? To go on the rampage, they need to prepare for that. They need to get defenses up and running. They need to do targeting. They need to do all this. I think we have three carriers over there now. Let me ask you something. What is China and Russia flying in and driving in to Iran right now? What kind of weapons are they sending in there right now? Are they sending any
hypersonic
missiles and stuff?
Anti-ship
missiles? You know,
the Iranians already have a ballistic hypersonic missile. We saw a video of at least one of them. It's called the Fahad missile, and they could use that on a carrier easy. There's no stopping that. No chance. None.
Well, not only that, but even with Aegis cruisers around with the air defense systems, Iran knows how to swarm them. They can swarm them.
Yep.
And get something through.
Well, Fahad can manipulate.
To take out an American carrier.
It can change course in air. Do you take out a destroyer and keep the losses acceptable, or do you take out a carrier and make them unacceptable? I don't know how that tactically would work.
Well, I think you're going to take out a carrier. Let me tell you what I see. So the next time Israel just impulsively goes over and bombs Iran, thinking that they're going to bully them and nothing's going to happen, Iran's going to respond next time. But this time they're going to attack American bases. They're going to attack American aircraft.
Well, do you know they gave Trump notice?
When they start sinking these aircraft carriers and stuff and taking out our air power and our bases over there, guess what? That's a time for Russia to go ahead and advance on Ukraine. That's a time for China to attack Taiwan. Might as well do it.
That
then
is exactly
because,
the time. I agree.
We can't fight it. We could not defeat some illiterate goat herders in Afghanistan with no superpower support at all. We could not defeat them in 20 years. Do you think we can fight a three-front war and hold our own? We cannot. And when we start losing, when Israel starts losing, are they going to nuke Iran? When we start losing, are we going to resort to nukes? You know what? Russia's got to beat us to that punch. That's their goal, is to beat us to that punch. When they think we might go nuclear, they will go nuclear. If Israel thinks it can do a limited strike in Iran and just hit a few nukes in Iran, and Russia and China and North Korea are going to sit back and do nothing, No, sir. That's not the way it's going to go. When Israel nukes Iran, the United States is going to be nuked. America, everybody you love, your friends, your family, are going to die for Israel. That's what's in your future. Everybody you lie is going to die for Israel. And just think of all the things Israel does for us. Nothing. You know, I heard a newscaster the other day actually say that if it wasn't for Israel, America would fall. Israel is the thing that defends the United States.
Our
existence depends on Israel. Yeah, what kind of twisted thinking is that?
What imbecile was that? You know his name?
You know, I wish I could remember who said that.
Man, that is really stupid. Wow.
Yes, incredibly stupid.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, the best thing for American survival is to abandon Israel.
Oh, 100% agree. Absolutely. It's too late.
We've given them everything since
1948. Come on. And how much has been paid back? Try virtually zero, if any.
So let me, this is a point I think I've made before, Jeff, is that you know, it is not realities that people respond to. People respond to perceptions. Okay, so those people, when we talk about Armageddon, when we talk about the apocalypse, about this World War III, and that it's centered on Israel, okay, many people say, well, you know, I don't believe in God, so that's not going to happen, okay? But I've got to impress on this. There's almost 2 billion Muslims. There's 1.2 billion Christians. Half of the world's population believes in that book and in that prophecy. That book, by virtue of that, that is perception. And if you're an atheist, I want you to pay attention, because, you know, even if it's not, if you don't accept it as prophecy, you should be accepting it as self-fulfilling prophecy, because it's the people who believe in this book that's making it happen. Okay. So.
Yeah.
Perception is far more important than reality. And that's the perception. And it's all coming true. And listen, Armageddon couldn't happen. The world couldn't be destroyed if it wasn't for the United States backing Israel. That's the only thing that's going to make it happen.
That's a good point.
Humanity, civilization is going to die because the United States blindly and insanely backs Israel.
We're ordered to. They own us. They exert total hegemony over this country. There's no arguments. Look at the Butler picture of Trump in the chair. Jeez, it's all there. Sickening.
Yep.
Really sickening. Yep. Yeah, well, remember, before the genocide began in Gaza, 30 to 35,000 Jews every week were coming out demanding that Netanyahu be removed. That all stopped. It all went away. It's all gone. Never to return. It's over a year ago that was happening. Now he's there.
Let me tell you how ridiculous this is. We have lived since World War II with this narrative of the Nazis and the Third Reich and the.
It's over a year ago that was happening. Now he's there.
Let me tell you how ridiculous this is. We have lived since World War II with this narrative of the Nazis and the Third Reich and the Third Reich. Okay, I mean, in other words,
they're living up to all the criticisms they throw at.
Yes, every criticism they have of Hitler, the Third Reich, and Nazism is them to a T.
And we all follow
them.
Yeah, it's so right.
It's almost absurd. No, it's not almost absurd. It is absurd. To back Israel is as absurd as you possibly can. Why do they get a pass? What's going on in Gaza is a genocide. It is ethnic cleansing. It is war crimes. It is crimes against humanity. No ands, buts, or ifs. But we're supposed to all believe that, well, it's not. It's not because, well, because Israel is doing it. So they have impunity. This whole narrative that they've created since World War II is to give them the impunity to do what they're doing. They're not to be held accountable for anything anybody else would be held accountable for.
I agree. I don't know how much more we can take of this. I don't think much more. It's all being taken down, and it has to do with AI, believe it, and international Zionist domination of this country. They own it. They own Americans. They program Americans 24 hours a day with social media, 6 to 7, 8 hours a day. No, it's not
funny. We're so programmed. Yeah. What AI is able to do is, when I'm talking about psychological preparation of the battlefield, AI is a force multiplier in that. It is insidious. It is into everything that we watch. They just totally play us now. It's just absolute fakeness that's being foisted upon us and stuff. I mean, I see news stories that are 100% obviously bullshit. And it's passed off as reasonable. So what gives it the power to pump out propaganda on pumping out propaganda on speed? AI does that. And it knows how to touch you, okay? I mean.
Oh, reach out and touch someone. Remember that one?
Yes,
it does. It's doing it right now when we don't even know it. And getting more proficient every moment of every day. This is unprecedented
insidious.
In human history.
It's insidious. You don't even know that it's happening,
No.
It's meant to sow confusion. Let me give you an example of this, Jeff, because this is a good example that I saw. So I saw this. YouTube thing from John MacArthur. He's this Christian like preacher guy. And he's like 90%, real. Like, he doesn't accept that you can be gay and go to heaven and stuff. So he'd be on the conservative side, et cetera, et cetera. However, so I saw this article where it's John MacArthur. It's under his name, and it's saying how worshiping Israel is not correct. God is not on Israel's side. So actually, the little thing that it shows is accurate and true. It's the truth, okay? But it's done by AI in John MacArthur's voice. You don't see a picture of him on there talking. It's just his voice talking, right? So I went and I looked at John MacArthur with him, like, on TV talking, okay? And this is what this AI-generated thing is not him. It's not what he believes, okay? But it's doing so. So I want people to be aware that just as governments are using AI to brainwash you, people are using AI to attack the government's narrative also. Okay, so it's cutting both ways.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I've been doing a lot of very close observation of AI and how it's changing, and we need to keep in mind at all times that they will never tell us where they really are with it. They won't. That's not how they operate. They don't share with us. They lie to us. And this thing is, I'm telling you, is going to be far more effective at controlling people cradle to grave than they'll ever figure out. They'll never figure it out. It's not going to happen.
Well, I think not. I want to make a prediction. I've said this before, Jeff, when they talk about Christians being persecuted and stuff, okay, I want people to realize that what it is the Christian Zionists that will be persecuting real Christians, okay? They're gonna accuse you of anti-Semitism because you will not bow down and worship Israel. Okay, and there's some canaries in the coal mine out here. When you see Candace Owen and you see Tucker Carlson squashed because, you know, they bring this up that we should not be worshiping Israel, when you see them squashed, you know that they're going to come for you. Okay? So.
I agree. Here's the big deal.
Voices will go on for a while, but they're going to crush them at some point.
Well, watch,
you know,
the control that social media has now is going to be augmented to an overwhelming degree with AI friends and companions that you can sign up to have. A confidant, a pal, a best friend for life. They're already doing it. People, as one person at least, has already called for it to be legalized to marry your AI friend, partner, confidant. Call it what you will. So this is taking off. It is taking off. It is going to be huge. Social media is addicting. It's absolutely addicting. Wait until you see how many people pay to have a best friend that's AI. They won't talk about a lot of them in the beginning, but they will. Everyone will have one. Well, what is your AI friend? Or they'll have names. What does Fred tell you? What does Marcia tell you? You watch. This is going to be big, big. I'm already know people who are in it and who are doing extraordinary research with it and finding out some amazing things. AI is far more intelligent than most people are told and would even want to realize. Oh,
it's a weapon.
Massive.
Meant ultimately to control us. You realize that. So when this war goes on, the economy is going to go in the tank. Okay, in order to make the economy
by design,
work,
Mitch,
you're going to have to chip you. Okay, so the first wave will be all the people who volunteer who will just go down and get chipped. Okay, then the next wave will be the people that, well, if you want to get paid, you got to get chipped. Okay,
I'm not sure they may use chipping as a diversion. They can do it wirelessly now. Every brain puts out like a fingerprint. They can find any brain anywhere, anytime, and instruct it. They can do that. I should send you a video. I will.
But, you know, here's another thing I want that I need to mention is that this financial chip that they put in you, think back to the vax, okay? There's more to it than just the finance. There's a lot more to it. It's not just to control you economically. It's to control you totally. Okay? Put a chip plus that AI, and they've got control. They know where you are. They know what you're doing. They know everything about
you. They can change your personality, Mitch.
Yes.
They can put memories in.
They can
take memories out.
Oh, yeah.
They can put belief systems in. They can do it. And I'll send you a video. It's well worth looking at.
Well, thank you. I'll appreciate that.
All right. Well, I don't know what's going to happen next. I do know that Israel was far more damaged than they'll ever admit, as I said earlier. You have to admire the, agree or disagree, you have to admire the Iranians for standing up and throwing everything they had, at least at that stage in the warfare, which largely consisted of things that were beyond their shelf life. They just burned up a lot of old inventory. That's where they were.
Yes, they did. That I got good reports on. They were throwing the trash away.
There you go. And look at the damage they did. Wow. Okay, Mitch, I'll be here. You'll be there. We'll talk. Thank you very much, as always.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Take care.
Mitchell Henderson with us every week. Extraordinary analysis. We appreciate you. We'll be back tomorrow on Tuesday night. Take care. Talk then.